This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello, and I'm here once again with Ben Ettridge. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, mate. The Suns are in the win column, and we're happy about that. And some very good basketball being played over the weekend.
Breathing a sigh of relief there. Well, I call this one the replacement round, or we could call it double danger as well, because there was plenty of teams playing double headers across what ended up being this, instead of the bye long weekend, it was a very hectic weekend of basketball.
And we saw a few players and a few teams down on numbers or down on players, as people had already arranged things to go away and do, but the league forged ahead and we got to play some basketball, which is very good.
Yeah, I think that was a challenge for quite a few clubs, actually, that expectation of maybe having the weekend off and personal plans were already in place and numbers were down.
Yeah, again, that's just something that coaches hopefully been able to manage and get through, and I don't think it really affected the results over the weekend.
If all goes according to plan, we hope to be speaking with Redbacks coach CJ Jackson for the men's side, and for the women, we're speaking to Tyrone Thwaites, the head coach of the Lady Coburn Cougars down there, and also, is he CEO? What's his position down there?
CEO, head coach of the women's program, and probably does a few extra jobs around the place, as we know that he's part and parcel of being involved in an NBL One club here in the West.
Well, launching right in, let's take a look at some of those women's fixtures from the weekend. It all kicked off, of course, on Friday night with the Lakeside Lightning giving a good workout to the Southwest Slammers, 94-47 in the women.
Yeah, good to see the Lightning get up. As we've spoken about the last few weeks with the people we've had on, they are one of those young and developing teams, and I guess lucky for them, they've come up against the Southwest Slammers, who are in a bit of a hole at the moment and facing a long season ahead.
The Coburn Cougars started off what was a really good double weekend for them with a 10-point win over the East Perth Eagles, 75-65.
And rounding out Friday night's fixtures, Rockingham Flames, 20-point victors, 73-53 over the Mandurah Magic.
And the second win for the Cougars of the weekend, and I'm sure we'll be speaking with Tyrone about this one, because this is the game in which Jesse Edwards went absolutely crazy with 36 points and 12 rebounds. We'll be chatting more to him about that one. Getting up over the Redbacks, 87-74.
Saturday night also saw the Warwick Senators get up over the Perry Lakes Lady Hawks at Warwick, 95-79.
And rounding out the women's, the Willerton Tigers getting up over the Eastern Suns, 93-62. A couple of big scorers there was Alex Sharp with 24 and Desiree Kelly with 18 for the Tigers. Ironmonger stood up tall for the Suns, but unable to get the win in that one. We'll be back after the break with all of the men's reviews from the weekend. We're not far away from talking to CJ Jackson, head coach of the Perth Redbacks. All that and more on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Round 8 is done and dusted. It was kind of our replacement round, and now we're hopefully back on track for the rest of the season. But it was a busy long weekend of action. In the men's, starting off on Friday night, we spoke with Coach Worthington in last week's show. Although a 31-point loss to the Lightning, he probably would have been happy with the young guys standing up and putting in a better showing than their last game against the Lightning, going down 96-65 down there at home.
Yeah, but for the Lightning, no Prue, no Bowie, no Sherville, but appeared to be no problems there for them. Eisenbarger and Armour with 21 points in the first half sort of, you know, took control of the game, and they welcomed back Rowan McKenzie from college, which is just another quality player that the Lightning have at their disposal. And for the Slammers, Caleb Vandergreen with 19 points and Mitch Keller putting in a workmanlike performance of 16 points and 8 rebounds.
Armour looked like a standout for the Lightning. He's 24 points and 9 assists. He was active all over the court.
Yeah, and in a game like that, a cool, calm, collected head like Kyle is going to pick you apart, and those young guards of the Slammers would be able to get some good tape and see how an NBL-level point guard runs a team.
In what was a low-scoring affair down there, the East Perth Eagles getting up over the Coburn Cougars, 69-63.
Tough weekend for the Cougars. No Nick Posoglu, who's out with a concussion that he sustained at practice, so sort of leaves them with that sort of single avenue to basket there with Gavin Field. But Kieran Berry, again, making those big baskets and stepping up and running the team there. And a balanced attack from the Cougars, but Gav leading the way, probably not enough to get it done.
The final Friday night fixture saw Ryan Godfrey top scoring again for the Flames and leading them to a 95-69 win over the Magic.
And Ryan Godfrey giving those three-point cannons a workout down there, going 4 of 7 from the three-point line, which is excellent. And the Flames are really starting to develop a dynamic duo down there in Riak and Bjor. I think when they can add those two to a more consistent Greg Hire, and if Tom Jervis does return after his NBL commitment, the Rockingham Flames could be a late charge for the finals.
You mentioned a tough weekend for the Cougars. It was also a tough weekend for the Magic. They went down in their second match to the Buccaneers, 86-71. That was a home fixture for the Magic as well.
And this game, just too much Muo. Matthew Muo with 41 points and going 9 of 14 from the three-point line. It was just basically him single-handedly getting the job done. The Magic's Fred Williams, good return with 16 points, but no real answer for Matthew Muo.
You already mentioned the double loss for Coburn. They went down on the Saturday night to Redbacks, 89-72. We mentioned we'll be speaking with Redbacks coach CJ Jackson, hopefully before too long as well. He would have been pleased with their output on the Saturday night.
And great to see Zach Katorna, a guy who's sort of chased that NBL dream and gone and been a development player for the Adelaide 36ers. And he comes in with 26 points. And Lewis Timms finding his feet with a double-double, 19 and 10. And Tevin Jackson with a very steady game of 17 points, 6 assists and 3 rebounds. A game reminiscent of his dad's sort of stat lines in that versatility. And Jared Holmes battled away for 22 points for the Cougars.
A balanced attack from the Senators on Saturday night saw them get up over the Perry Lakes Hawks, 87-77. The Hawks a little undermanned by that sort of change in fixtures that we spoke about earlier. 3 potential starters missing from their lineup and going down to the Senators up there at Warwick.
Too much depth. 5 guys in double figures for the Senators, and Ali Riak coming back and providing good depth for them from the three-point line. And look, I think the overall size of the Warwick Senators, you know, their starting lineup could be anywhere from 6'4" through to, you know, Caleb Davis at 6'9". That's a lot of size they have. And Ferguson obviously battled away to get his double-double of 19 and 10, but too much size there and too much depth from the Senators.
The Eastern Suns on the Saturday night stood up against the might of the Willerton Tigers, going down though, but I imagine Coach Utley would have been happy with the effort in that match at least anyway. 72-65 the final scoreline.
Much happier with the attitude and effort that was displayed. I think with 3.5 minutes to go, we'd cut the back to a three-point game on a Spencer Ohlone three-pointer, but then just our inability to execute down the stretch. The Tigers without 2 key players, Michael Vigor or one of those away, so you know, we sort of saw this as an opportunity to maybe be a bit too big for them. However, you know, that Tigers young crew of Mitchelton, Evans and Williams stepped up and really took the game on and with a difference in the end.
In what was a high-scoring affair, the Lakeside Lightning getting up over the Goldfields Giants, 118-90. The final of the Saturday night fixtures, it saw Jay Bowie leading the way with 27 points.
Yeah, Jay Bowie and Jared Prue and Corey Sherv will come back into your lineup after a 30-point win. That's a fairly handy for your team. And then Lakeside go and shoot 20 of 40 from the three-point line. I mean, that's just unbelievable. So, you know, the fact that the Giants could sort of hold their own and get to 90 against that. But I guess what we saw from them was just a little bit too much of a balanced attack. No one really stood up. They had sort of 3 or 4 guys all around that 14-16 point mark, but no one really put their authority on the game, which is probably what they were looking for.
The Giants having a tough weekend on the road, also going down on Sunday, this time to the Wolves, 82-71.
And I can imagine that game against Lakeside the night before, they would have put them on a treadmill, made them chase them up and down for 40 minutes, and then the Wolves were sitting there just waiting for them to enter the stadium and do the same thing again. And Jonathan Wade with 23 points, he's, you know, hit some form the last couple of weeks. I think he had 34 last week, so he's starting to really find his feet in the NBL One West. And again, for the Giants, just a little bit too much consistency across the board. No one really taking the game on. You know, a few guys getting around that 16-14 points again, but no one really sort of breaking out and taking it on. So perhaps that's them just finding out who's in charge and who's going to do that for them. But yeah, they wouldn't be happy with going 0-2.
the Buccaneers after winning their first game of their road trip. They travelled out to Kalamunda to take on the Eastern Suns, who were chasing their first win, and boy were they happy to get one. 94-74, the Suns over the Bucks.
Yeah, nah, 1-6 looks a lot better than 0-7, so we're happy with that. Again, the boys, you know, took on board what they did right on Saturday night and then went out on Sunday and carried on with a bit more of the same, and a really great showing there from Carl Aylett, Brendan Donato and Ryan Blanchett, sort of the veterans of our team. And when you think of that, you know, our veterans are 23, 24 and 25, and then our younger guys stepping up and providing support as well. So good for the boys to get the win. Matthew Angmuo battled away again with 34, very, very tough cover in NBL 1. But yeah, happy for the boys to get the win, and the Bucks will, you know, lament one loss on the Sunday and be thinking about next week.
Big weekend for him with the 41 points earlier in the weekend and then the 34 or 5 against the Suns.
Yeah, I would be tipping him to be NBL 1 West Player of the Round on the men's side of the competition. I think he still hit 3 or 4 threes against us as well. So double figure triples for the weekend for Mathiang.
What it struck me as an outsider is it looked like quite a team effort from the Suns. Chris Johnson only had 7 points. And there was a good spread with the guys that you mentioned as well, so everyone was kind of chipping in.
And that's kind of why we got Chris Johnson over. He's more of a facilitator than a scoring big, and when we can put people around him that he can get the ball to, he becomes like our point forward, if you will. And that's probably a classic example of where we finally shot the ball at a decent clip. I think we shot around 40% from three-point line, and Chris can do his thing in the middle there. So, yeah, good return for him.
And I want to cheekily mention about Chris. I don't know him, so I can get away with it maybe. 100% from the line in that game as well. 1 of 1.
Yeah, he'll be happy to have that shouted out across the airwaves. I know he has not been very happy with his performance there, so good return for some hard work for him.
We'll be speaking with CJ Jackson before too long to go a little more in detail into the Perth Redbacks and how they've been travelling. He'll of course be happy after that win against Coburn. And then on the women's side, we'll chat with Tyrone Thwaites before the hour is out as well. It's the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And as promised, we're now joined on the line by the Perth Redbacks men's head coach, CJ Jackson, a legend of the SBL as well. How are you doing, CJ?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Yeah, not too bad at all.
Yeah, good to talk to you, CJ.
You too, my former teammate.
Yeah.
Yes, there's some memories there. Now, what year was that? We've been doing our lost SBL segment. Can you remember that far back, boys?
Oh, 97, 98, 99, yeah. And then 2001 at Redback. So
okay.
Mandra then Redbacks, yeah.
Bit of history there then.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great history. Great history.
Well, we'll reflect back on that, I think. But firstly, let's cover your Perth Redbacks and how things have been travelling for you. Nice to be coming off a win when we're talking to you from the weekend, at least anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty good to come from a win. I think it was a much needed win for our club, as far as for our confidence levels and trying to understand who we are right now after a few pretty hard losses that we've taken. But for us to bounce back against a very good, energetic, young Coburn team, I was pretty excited about that, pretty happy about that.
You seem to have a pretty good, strong squad this year with Tim sort of leading the way, I suppose, but perhaps has consistency been one of your concerns?
Yeah, I think really just us knowing each other. Tim's come from a different program, and then we, you know, trying to fit in with him and Wags and with Zach and with Tevin. I think it's taking a little bit of time, and we still have Marshall to come back into the equation in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So it's just about us finding ourselves and just finding the right fit and just making sure we all are on the same page at the same time. And once we are, then I think we'll be a really good team to and would be hard to beat.
You definitely do have the balance sort of there, and if you sort of think of back to last year when you didn't have that big guy in the middle like a Lewis Timms, you're a bit more perimeter oriented with a Caleb White and Marshall. I know he's coming back, but you know, how much does having two sort of prototype stretch bigs in your lineup sort of change the things that you're doing with Isaac and Lewis?
Well, with Timms in particular, he did a good job at rim protecting, and he was doing he had a few shot blocks. So he's kind of covering some territory for us in that area. So, and he's pretty mobile and agile, and he can actually shoot the three pretty good. He's actually having a pretty good season on the offensive end, but in this game against Cougars, it was a defensive end that was in particular. With Tevin and with Zach, the two of the players that we're trying to encourage to try to go into the paint and try to score more inside the paint than looking to settle for outside shot, perimeter shots. And I think that's where we have not had the balance right. And I think that's where we've led a lot of teams and players off the hook with the guys is jacking up threes and not looking at getting the ball inside and using our strengths to our ability. So I think we're trying to fine-tune that and get better at that area.
You mentioned Marshall Nelson earlier, and last I'd heard, well, the word on the grapevine was that he was sort of isolating and getting ready to go before too long. What more can you tell us about his timeline?
He's just coming off an injury, and it's an injury to his hand. Not to throw it out there so everybody will get but it's something that he's coming to. You know, he just got back from Iceland just a few weeks ago, so the quarantining part is good. He's just getting his hand right, and he'll be good to go in the next week or two. We give him probably a 2-week timeline, and he's really excited about coming back and playing. He's really very excited about coming back and playing.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Marshall adds another layer to what you can do. And I'm sort of looking at the standings at the moment, and you're currently sitting in ninth, and I guess that when you chuck in Marshall Nelson, you're going to sort of jump up the standings pretty quickly. As an opposition coach, I sort of look at that and go, if you got a Wagner, Nelson, Tevin, Katorna, and then Lewis Timms, that's a pretty formidable starting five. How far do you think you guys could go, and where's your sort of expectations of this group for this first season of NBL One West?
I think when we look at it and we add Marshall to the lineup, one thing that Marshall will help us do is he'll make us stretch the floor a lot. There's some teams that will have to cover him on the outside because he is a very good shooter from the perimeter. But he can drive and he can dish as well. So he's a very good player at that two guard spot, and it opened up things a little bit more for Zach and for Tevin and for Lewis, you know, and for Wags as well. And I just feel that right now where we're actually situated as a team right now, as a club, where we actually sit is not really probably where we'll sit by the time the season finishes. And I feel very comfortable that in saying that we'll be a very strong team once we're going in that direction, but then you add a weapon of that of Marshall into the equation, and it just makes us a very dangerous side to match up to. And I think that's where it's going to be, as a matchup problem for quite a few teams.
CJ, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back to talk to you some more on the Perth Redbacks' progress during season 2021 of the NBL One West.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West Radio Show, it's Ben, Brett, and we're joined on the line by Perth Redbacks head coach and legend of Western Australian basketball, CJ Jackson. CJ, looking towards this coming weekend, you've got the Warwick Senators. That one's set to be a good test for you.
Yeah, I think after the round, our first loss against them, we're really anxious to see how far we've progressed since playing them in that opening round where they just really just did to us whatever they wanted to do to us, and it really kind of shook our confidence levels early. But I think we are gaming towards that, and we want to show a strong rebound from that first game we played against them.
CJ, from me, a bit more of a personal question here. Looking through the list, not often do you see this happen, but there's three Jacksons on the list. There's Denzel, Tevin, and then they're coached by CJ. How proud of you are you of having two boys that are playing in NBL One West?
I think I'm not just NBL One West, but I think throughout the NBL One, I'm not sure if there are any coaches that have both their sons. So, you know, I'd be very proud.
Yep.
For me, and with you being witnesses, you've seen the boys as they were little infants into what they are today. So, for me, I could be more prouder to have both the boys playing. And you know, it's a testament for any parent to have their own kid playing. But playing at this level, you know, for me, is a very good thing for me. I'm really, really happy for them.
No, it's brilliant, as I say. I think you're right. There might be, you know, maybe a father-son coach somewhere. Lindsay Gaze and Andrew Gaze is probably one of the most famous ones. But, yeah, to have both playing and dad as a coach, I think would be very, very rare in any league around the world. So credit to you, mate.
Yeah, I think the only one is DMAC on the East Coast. But, yeah, for me, that's a very exciting thing for me, and I'm very proud of the boys.
We're looking forward towards the end of June when you're returning to Perry Lakes, to the Hawks Nest, and you'll be facing up against the Hawks. They've got another pretty big lineup this year as well.
It's very, you know, when you have left the club and you've gone to your former club and you try to get that and you see what the things that Matt has done with the Hawks. He's done an extraordinary job with them. And I think Andrew Ferguson and Lewis Thomas coming into that praise, very good. I've always thought highly of Ben and all the young guys, Cooper and Smithers. And I'm telling you, Mitch Clark to me is having a very good season. And I just think that going to get up against them again, I think is, you know, that was the second not so good loss we took, and we'll be really anxious to get back on that court and see how we go against them as well.
We mentioned earlier that we've been doing our Lost SBL segment as well. Before too long, we'll be getting to 1999, and someone was the Coach of the Year that year. In fact, his name was CJ Jackson. Have you got your eyes on Coach of the Year in the forthcoming years as well? Perhaps that may be the longest break between Coach of the Year ever, I reckon, if you could take that one out.
Yeah, it'd be good, but my eye is more on the prize of winning championships because, you know, for me, you know, as I coach your son as well, that winning championships prevails over everything, that and the personal things takes over when you have team success. So I'm more, you know, I'm more of a team success coach, and I, you know, would like to have team success for the Redbacks coming back.
Do you remember what team that was, the 1999 Coach of the Year award?
Yeah, it was the Magic.
Oh, was it? Oh. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was a Magic.
Was I on that
Come
team?
Come on, dog. You was on my team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember. We made the playoffs that year, didn't we? Yeah.
Oh, you sure did. We had a good, me, you, Stewie. We had a very good lineup.
Sean
so
King.
Yeah, it was but it was, you know, we had to go through some personal battles, team battles the previous years in order to get that point.
I think,
I will say this about the Magic right now. They actually are going really good.
They're
really good. They're a good, solid side, and that hadn't happened since we've been there. And to see that success for them, I was pretty happy for them as well.
Yeah, no, that you talk about adding someone like Marshall Nelson to your group. I think for us, it was when Anthony Stewart came back, and we sort of had a decent crew around him, and a guy like that can really change the landscape of what you're trying to do. So, good times back then, 1999.
Yeah, great times.
CJ, we appreciate your time in chatting with us about some of the old times and also the current Perth Redbacks. And we wish you, of course, all the best for the rest of the season. Adding Marshall Nelson could be a key piece and as you charge towards the playoffs.
Yeah, appreciate you guys' time. It's good to always hear from you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, CJ.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk bill Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show, Brett and Ben with you, and we are joined on the line, as promised, by Tyrone Thwaites. He's the head coach of the Coburn Cougars women and also the CEO down there, so we're looking forward to getting some good insights. How are you getting on after your big weekend?
Yeah, it was a lovely weekend. Probably in a lot of ways a very important moment for us from a women's point of view. We talked about it a lot after coming off, you know, we had three wins to start the year, two losses against, you know, the top two teams in Rockingham and Willerton. It was a very important weekend against two teams, East Perth, who've probably surprised a bunch of people so far. And, you know, Blake's doing a great job with them. And then to back it up against Perth was always going to be really tough. But to come away with two wins and be sitting at 5-2, if you'd asked me about that 8 weeks ago, I'd say I'm very pleased.
Ty, as a we've sort of journeyed into NBL One West here, we've spoken to different coaches and different players, and we've even had the head honcho Adam Bowler come on and talk about the transition from SBL into NBL One West. As the CEO, how have you seen the transition, and how's it all going from a club standpoint, do you feel?
Well, it's been quite a process, Ben. That's the thing. So this has been a conversation probably since December 2019. And obviously, there's been a lot that's happened in between with COVID and the like, and we're finally here now. And there's no secrets around the league that Coburn was very much in favour of NBL One West and proceeding down that line and all the benefits that came with it for the sport generally. I've been nothing but pleased with how it's rolled out so far. There's obviously teething issues with, you know, something that's as big of a project as a national competition like this. But from a club point of view, we've absolutely loved it. We know that it draws extra attention. There's extra eyeballs on the league. From a commercial standpoint, it's fantastic to be able to leverage that a little bit from a live stream point of view. But just for the athletes, more importantly, and I think that's where sometimes we forget how important it is for them to be a little bit more center stage, professionalize the league a little bit, and ultimately provide a better product for each and every 14 communities that step on, you know, come to watch each game each week. It's been an absolute pleasure to be a part of it, and I'm really pleased. We've played four away games so far, and to see everyone else lift their standards as well, it's been really fun to watch.
You touched on the athletes there. Let's speak of one athlete from the weekend, Jessie Edwards, 36 points and 12 rebounds, really hitting her strap. She's been a key recruit for you this season.
Yeah, she's fun to watch. I did say to Perth League's GM on Saturday night, I hope he was watching, with Jessie's performance against Maddie Allen. Look, she had a tough night on Friday. Everybody comes in when they play against us, and we know this, comes in with a plan against Jessie Edwards. She's, you know, the biggest athlete in the competition, and everyone comes in with a plan. East Perth's plan was probably a little bit more aggressive than we've seen in recent weeks, and it probably knocked her around a little bit. And I saw her on Saturday pregame, and I said to her, "How are you going?" And she said that she was a little bit frustrated and angry, but in typical Jessie Edwards style, said that with a smile and a laugh, which doesn't quite make sense, and then comes out with 36 and 12. So she is such a good human being, not just for the club, but obviously inside our program as well. And to see her do that against very good quality opposition in Maddie Allen, you know, a WNBL first team defensive player, she's a big part of the reason we are going as well as we are right now.
And you've got the Mandurah Magic this weekend, and also a milestone game for Nicole Roberts as well.
Yes, it is. So Nick Roberts, a good friend of mine, and I'm so pleased that I get to be a part of her journey to 300 games. She is a loyal, humble, dedicated, hardworking servant of our club, and not just at NBL One level, but off the court as well, and her contribution to our Wobble program and everything in between. She's had a roller coaster ride of a career. She's had games where she started. She's had years where she's been dropped. And all she cares about is the success of our women's program, and that's why she is a co-captain of our program. And we're really excited for her on Friday night against Mandurah, which ironically is the team she played her 200th game against. They're an interesting team because when we went down there, it was a very sunny event in round two. We got 2 minutes into the game and there was a fire alarm and we got evacuated for 15 minutes. And then we came back in and three of our girls got injured, and we had three hospital visits that night through no one's fault. And we're really praying that this Friday night is hopefully less eventful and only eventful on the side of Nicole Roberts. And hopefully we come away 6-2.
Well, good luck. We might take that moment to take a bit of a pause, but we'll come back if you're happy to stick around and we'll look at all the games in the women's coming up this weekend and get you to chime in with a few tips for us as well.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. We're back, Ben and Brett with you, and we're still on the line with Tyrone Thwaites as we take a look at the upcoming games for this weekend. It kicks off on Friday night there at Bendat Basketball Centre. The Perry Lakes Hawks hosting the Lakeside Lightning. What's your takeaway for that one, Ty?
This is an interesting one. Perry Lakes, you know, at the moment they're 1-5, but I don't think that's reflective of the group they are. And I heard Janelle Morley say the same thing last week. They're not a team that can be written off, and I don't think where they're placed right now is where they will end up. However, they do need to really start getting the clicking into gear as we approach the halfway mark. Lakeside have been up and down, and we know they've got a very young group that Dave Daniels assembled alongside Michaela Perini, Emma Clark and Ash Eisenberger. But I think at home, Perry Lakes will be desperate for a win, and I can see them doing this one comfortably.
Second game on the Friday night is the, as you spoke before, the ladder leading Rockingham Flames against the much improved East Perth Eagles at the Mike Barnett Sports Complex.
Yeah, we were at Rockingham 2 weeks ago, and we were facing a Chibatoni-less Rockingham, and they were very, very impressive. Tom Knowles did a great job against us, and they got us by, I think, 15 in the end. And it's a tough place to play at Mike Barnett, and I know the East Perth Eagles are much improved, but I can't see them getting it done against Rockingham. They're probably the best team in the comp at the moment, so it has to be Rockingham.
We touched on this one already. Of course, you guys, the Coburn Cougars, will be hosting the Mandurah Magic. That's Friday, 6:30 p.m. tip-off for the women.
Well, look, I can't tip against us, but it is one of those leagues at the moment where there's a lot of good teams floating around the competition. You have to prepare for every single team the same way. And Mandurah might have had a slow start to the year, but they still have Carly Bogue up front. And, you know, the experience of Casey Milo and Rachel Helene, you can never write them off, but it's going to be tough to do it on our home court, hopefully.
Can you see if you can have a chat to the CEO and get a few extra lights in that stadium for the broadcasts in there? See if we can brighten things up a little bit.
We will do our best.
See if you can pull any strings.
See what he can do. Yeah, absolutely.
The Perth Redbacks will be hosting the Warwick Senators there at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre. That's the first of the Saturday night fixtures, 5 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah, look, probably game of the round for me. I think this is fifth versus sixth. We played Perth on the weekend, and obviously if you do a job on Mac Dyer, then you're probably going to go a long way towards winning. She had 26 on us, but I think we made it work for it. Warwick had a loss to Mandurah a couple of weeks ago, but they've been pretty impressive since with a big win over Perry Lakes last week. It's a really tough one to go with. I'd like to think Perth would bounce back, but I'm probably going to go with Warwick because their form's looking a little bit better at the moment.
The Southwest Slammers, who are yet to get a win, will be hosting the Perry Lakes Hawks on the Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off there at Eton.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with the Hawks here. I'll go 2-from-2 for the weekend, get some much-needed form. But some credit does need to go to Anita Recker and what she's doing at Southwest. She's got a bunch of kids who are aged 21 years and under, and that's a really tough thing to do in this league, and you're 0-8, and you know that you're going to be pushing it uphill a little bit this year. But I only saw her a couple of weeks ago coaching against her and the under-18 girls at Wobble level, and it's a credit to her, and she's working really hard to try and develop that program as quick as she can. And I really do hope they break the duck at some point this year, but Perry Lakes will be too strong down there.
Saturday night at the Willetton Basketball Stadium, the much-improved East Perth Eagles against the in-form Willetton Tigers.
Again, it's a tough double for East Perth. I did speak to Blake Sauer about this on Friday night, and playing Rockingham at Willetton in a double is always going to be a challenging one. I think it's a double away game for them as well, which makes it even harder. Willetton are very good. We did nearly get them at home, but Alex Sharp and Sam Lobke were too good for us, and alongside Rocco, probably the other best team in the competition right now, and I can't see Willetton dropping this at home.
Rockingham, with their second match for the weekend, will travel to Lakeside Rec Centre Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off again.
Yep, Rockingham I think will be too good in this one. I mean, Lakeside are a young group, and they do have a bit of talent floating around, but Rockingham, despite having a double for the weekend, I think we'll get it done at Lakeside.
And Saturday night, up the hill at Ray Owen Sports Centre, the Junior Up Wolves travel up to take on the Eastern Suns.
Yeah, a little surprised at Kalamunda's big loss to Willetton last week. I think with Sam Roscoe back, they are a much better unit than what they probably showed on the floor last week. And Joondalup backed up a loss to East Perth with a big win over Perry Lakes on Tuesday night. Kalamunda is not a fun place to play, Ben. I know that. Driving up the hill in the freezing cold of a Saturday night is not a fun experience for anybody. But I think Joondalup might get this in a close one.
All righty. Well, we appreciate your input into all of that. And we wish you good luck for the rest of the season as well, Ty.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be looking out for those lights on the broadcast. I'm actually calling a game. I'm calling a Hawks-Cougars game down there on the 19th of June, so a little bit later on in the month.
Well, I'll make sure that we turn the lights down when you arrive.
See what you can do. Appreciate your time once again. Good luck.
Thanks, Ty.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Appreciate it. See you, guys.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett Costello, Ben Ettridge with you. We've still got our Lost SBL segment to come, but before that, let's take a look at the upcoming matches in the men's round 9 action coming up this weekend. Of course, it tips off on Friday night. The Perry Lakes Hawks hosting the Lakeside Lightning, 8:30 p.m. there at Bendat Basketball Centre.
And a tale of two differing styles. The Perry Lakes Hawks very much slow you down, grind you out, and the Lakeside Lightning will be looking to run and gun. And I think the addition of Rowan McKenzie will really add to that. The Hawks will be battling away down low against Jared Prue. He'll probably still do his serviceable job down there on the boards, but I just think the Hawks, their pack line defense doesn't like to come out of the paint too far, and I think the Lightning, after last week's performances, will be seeing the basket as big as a hula hoop, and I think they'll have too much firepower and probably run away with this one, given that, you know, they're all shooting the ball so well. So Lightning to get this one, but the Hawks will battle hard.
The Hawks should be back to full strength after their last weekend showing against the Senators. And the Lakeside, if the Hawks can't test them, they're unlikely to be tested for some time, I would have thought.
Yeah, I'd say the next time they play Warwick will be the time that they really get a team that can match up and probably play that same sort of tempo and perhaps be a little bit more of a defensive presence on the perimeter.
The second of three Friday night fixtures sees the Rockingham Flames hosting the East Perth Eagles. Again, an 8:30 p.m. tip-off for the men.
And I think the Flames will be too big and too strong down there. Ryan Godfrey shooting the ball very well. As we said before, the two new boys for the Flames are doing a job on the boards, and if you throw in Greg Heyer, I think they'll just have a little bit too much for the Eagles at this stage.
Dare I say, Greg Heyer almost channeling some Jared Prue. Not a lot of points recently, but plenty of rebounds.
I think that's when you're not able to get on the track and train as much as you perhaps would like to. With Greg, he would be focusing on those intangible things that he can do that don't require him putting the ball in the basket. So getting rebounds, taking charges, getting loose balls, creating shots for his teammates will be where he'll be focusing his energies at the moment.
The Coburn Cougars, coming off that deadly weekend of two losses, will be looking to make amends at home against the Mandurah Magic.
Yeah, and look, this one will be very much determined by does Nick Posoglu recover from his concussion and get the clearance to play. I think he goes such a long way, having saw him tear us apart, just in what he can do. He's pretty tough cover at this level, and I don't think the Magic would have someone to cover him. So if he plays, I'll tip the Cougars, and if he's not there, I'm going to hedge my bets and tip the Magic.
The Buccaneers and the Giants both had big road ventures down to Perth last weekend. This weekend, the Giants travel to Geraldton at Active West Stadium. There's a 7 p.m. tip-off there.
Yeah, and not often we see both country teams in the city on the same weekend. So given they've both had that road trip over the weekend, the Bucks, yeah, they... Mathiang Muo versus Julian Passava. Look, I'm going to go with the Giants in this one. I think they're a little bit too deep across the board, although Mathiang had a great weekend this weekend. I just don't think there's enough support for him, although Elijah Barber did get into double figures against us. I'm not quite sure he's the fit that the Bucks need at the moment. So the Giants for me in that one.
I agree with you on that. Too many weapons, a bit more of a balanced approach from the Giants. Yes, if Mathiang goes for 40 or 50, then maybe watch out, but I think the Giants may have that one. Looking then on Saturday night, the Warwick Senators will head to Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre to take on CJ's Redbacks. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off for the men.
I think this might have been the most closely watched game in NBL One West, given it was the first game that was live-streamed and everyone was sort of tuning in to see how it went. And look, as CJ said, they perhaps weren't quite ready and a little bit underdone, and the Senators had a bit too much firepower for them. So I think the Redbacks will be a bit more organised. Lewis Timms seems to have found his feet alongside Zach Gatorne. But But the Warwick Senators are a really, really good outfit at the moment. And I think adding Ali Riak back into it gives them that extra perimeter threat that when they take off a Caleb Davis or a Cody Ellis, they can just sub in another guy that shoots the ball at a high clip. So the Senators for me, but the Redbacks will be improved in this one.
The Southwest Slammers host the Perry Lakes Hawks at Eaton Rec Centre Saturday night, the 12th of June. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off as well.
Does it get any easier for the Slammers? Lakeside 1 week and then the Hawks the next. I think the Hawks will be looking to sort of assert dominance early and take control of this game, and we'll have too much size across the board. Although Mitch Keller versus Andrew Ferguson, two of the better young bigs in the league going head-to-head, would be a matchup worth watching. But yeah, the Hawks will have too much firepower.
The Willetton Tigers host the East Perth Eagles. That's also on Saturday at 7 p.m.
Adam Nina's Tigers are very well drilled and very well organised. I think we can break it down to three side ball plays which we didn't defend properly, which gave them a three-pointer on half-time, and a couple of layups which essentially determined the game. So they're playing very well. Welcome back Michael Vigor, and I think they'll be too strong for the East Perth Eagles.
Now, I did mention that Lakeside may not have too much of a challenge if the Hawks couldn't give them a run for their money, but little did we notice that on Saturday night they're playing the Flames, and that could actually be the match of the round.
Yeah, look, both those teams are playing good basketball. Again, Greg Hyatt versus Jared Prue probably cancels each other out. It's do they have enough perimeter defenders to defend the guards of Lakeside? Look, at a glance, I'd say no. And also, that like the game being at Lakeside Recreation Centre, they love to shoot in their home gym. And they'll be looking to put in another performance like they did last week, shooting 50% from the three-point line.
If you'd like to check that one out live or online, you can see it at 8 p.m. Saturday, June 12th. The Eastern Suns then host the Joondalup Wolves, an 8:30 p.m. tip-off for that one, also on Saturday.
And we'd be looking to capitalise on our form of last week. The boys shot the ball really well. We did compete against the Wolves in both the last two times we played them, West Coast Classic and this first round of NBL One West. We've been around the mark for at least a half. Chance for us to show have we improved. And for the Wolves, they need to get these wins. If they've got any type of title aspirations, they need to beat the teams that they should beat. And they'd be looking at this as being one of those games. But I did it last week. I probably won't do it again. I'm going to tip the Suns in this one.
Two Sunday fixtures, both with a midday tip-off. The Mandurah Magic firstly hosting the Eastern Suns, backing up from that Saturday night game down there at Mandurah.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to another Sunday game. The formula worked for us last week. And I think given that we are playing with tempo and shooting the ball at a decent clip now, I'll tip us again to get the win over the Magic on Sunday.
And in what's a hectic road trip for the Goldfield Giants, after facing Geraldton on the Saturday night, they swing back through Perth on the Sunday to face the Warwick Senators.
Really tough for the Giants. And again, I think this would be as a result of the COVID shutdown a few weeks ago. They're having to make up games, and getting the Senators on a Sunday when it's a Perth doubleheader would be tough. And I really feel for them having to do this, having done a reverse a few years ago where we played Perry Lakes on a Friday and then drove up to Kalgoorlie to play them on a Saturday night. It didn't end well for us. I think the Senators will be too strong in this one.
You can check out all of those fixtures upcoming, and hopefully you can get around to your local stadium or association, or check it out, of course, online, nbl1.com.au, or download the NBL app. This is the NBL One West Radio Show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. It's time for our lost SBL segment as we look back on our local league as it was from the year 1999 to 2019. 30 years of history there, and we're up to 1994 in our look back. Ferry Lakes was the minor premiers, and they also took out the championship that year, 107 over the Swan City Mustangs, 86.
Yeah, and those Ferry Lakes Hawks teams are really starting to round out with John Gardner there at the helm, and they were starting to form a very tough core group of players, although this sort of championship was a bit of an anomaly as the South West Slammers sort of took over for the next few years. But yeah, some very, very tough teams from the Perry Lakes Hawks in the early 90s.
Dupreece Owens was the MVP for that season as well.
Yeah, 6'8" from Iowa, dominated the low block for the Stirling Senators as they were then, and literally no one could guard him in this league. He was just unbelievable, next level talent.
All of the country teams had a strong showing and qualified for the finals that year. Geraldton Goldfields and the Southwest Slammers all going well. It was only the Rainbow Coast Raiders still around at that time that finished in 12th that year.
Yeah, the sort of the country teams then were getting some very, very high quality imports out, and a lot of guys were sort of making the journey from Perth or over east to play on those teams. So, yeah, sort of the halcyon days for those country teams.
Coach of the year in the men's was Norm Majors, obviously, for the Mustangs at that time.
Yeah, Norm, again, as we've spoken about previously, put together some very, very good teams there at Swans, and reaped the rewards with a championship and a couple of grand final appearances.
Take a look at the women. The Swan City Mustangs were the minor premiers, but they didn't feature in the grand final. It was actually the Senators getting up over the Hawks, 72-59. The women's MVP in 94 was Claire Hotchkin, and the coach of the year that year, Paul Dugan.
Yeah, Paul, a long-time servant of the Wolves, getting some just reward as the coach of the year there.
Well, there you have it, our look back at 1994. We hope you've been enjoying our lost SBL segments. CJ Jackson talking a little bit about some history in there as well. Next week, I guess, we'll move on to 1995. It's a pretty big run, as you mentioned, for the Southwest Slammers, really betting in some solid championships across the next few years there. Well, that's about all we've got time for in this week's show.
Yeah, great round of basketball, the replacement round, and next week or this week coming up, hopefully teams are back at full strength, and again, the ladder's starting to round it out, and looking forward to seeing those teams that perhaps at the bottom of the ladder that have been struggling getting a few more wins, which is always nice, and wishing the Goldfields Giants probably the equivalent of the Doomsday Double, their road trip. We wish them all the best on the Sunday against the Senators.
And to anyone who's celebrating a milestone game, it's hard for us to keep up to date and across all of those, but certainly if you do have a milestone game coming up, congratulations to you, including Nicole Roberts there at the Coburn Cougars Women, who'll be playing her 300th. Until next week, I think that's about it from us.
Yep, thank you very much.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.